I'd like you to open your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel chapter 20. I almost forgot the offering this morning. It's an unpardonable sin for a Baptist preacher. I pray the Lord will forgive me. 1 Samuel chapter 20. David was a great figure in history. He's a man of very interesting life. We live our life as a tale that is told, the Bible says. David was a child star. He was actually a superstar. And when he killed Goliath with his slingshot, that one hit just put his name on the top of all names to stardom. And everyone knew who he was after that, and he became the king of Israel. He was a warrior, a man of war, a poet. He became very wealthy. He was an interesting figure in history. But even this man realized the reality of death. And here he realizes that the most powerful man in the world was hunting him, Saul. That's one reason why bin Laden lives in caves today. He wants his followers to die the glorious martyr death. But he, the little coward, runs to a new cave every other day because he wants to stay alive. But if you're following him, he wants you to die. But he wants to live. In this chapter, David speaks of death very profoundly. And I'd like to look at verses 1, 2, and 3, please. And David fled from Naoth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? What is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" And he said unto him, "God forbid that I shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, but that he will show it me." Jonathan is speaking to him, his son. "And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." And David sware moreover and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." And that's the verse of our text this morning. There is a step between me and death. Let us pray. Father in heaven, show us the reality of this text in our message this morning. How close death is when it actually comes to us, that every one of us come to that place where our next step is it. It's the last step that we take. And we know that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. But you know all of our steps are numbered in your sight. You know how many that we will take in our life. I pray, Father, that helping us to sense the nearness of this final step one day will cause us to want to serve you better and to be better soldiers of the cross, better parents, better grandparents, better children to our parents, better neighbors, better citizens. And Father, we will thank you and give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. And all the people that love God said, amen. Thank you. Appreciate a good amen. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to thank you for last Sunday. That was just tremendous. I was totally taken off guard by it. I knew that something was in the works, but you women are really sneaky, you know that? 4 weeks you planned that thing, and I didn't really know about it. Mrs. Janky didn't know about it, so you're really good sneakers. But I want to thank you, and it was a pleasure to just be here and to just take it all in. And weren't the children, didn't they do a great job with Danielle singing? Wasn't that great? All right. Well, we're going to talk about this step of death, this mystic step of death. And basically this morning I want to give you just a few points about it. Number one, it's certain. And at the same time, it's uncertain. It's a final step. It's a parting step. It's a solitary step. And it's a solemn step. And it's a step that every one of us are going to take one day. First of all, it's a certain step. You know, Mr. Death is going to find us one day, that's for sure. We know that we have an appointment with death. It's appointed unto man once to die. God gives us so many days in this beautiful life, and then the end comes. We don't know how many days we have, We don't know how many steps we have. All those things are in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the author and the giver of life. And some people live long, and some people live short, and some people don't live very long at all. But every day is a gift, and life is precious. And one day, Mr. Death is going to find us out. Even if we could live in this world, if it were possible, to live in this world without a care in the world, where every day the sun shines on us, and every day we have good health, and every day we don't have a care in the world. Of course, I don't know anyone like that. But if it were possible, even that person would take their final step one day, and it would be a certain step, that very last step with Mr. Death. And so it is a certain step, that's for sure. And at the same time, it's an uncertain thing. We've got to take it. When we take it, we don't know. You know, it could be tonight. Some of us take that last step. Could be next week. Say, Pastor, you're trying to scare me. No, I'm trying to tell you the reality of the subject. Life is uncertain. What is your life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, it's the person that really has an understanding of this subject that doesn't want to waste their life. It's the person that understands this subject that wants to make the most of their time. It's the person that understands this subject that doesn't waste the fleeting moments and opportunities to be of service to the Lord and to be an example to our children and grandchildren. So many people just sweep off another day from the calendar, not really realizing that that was an opportunity they had to serve the Lord. Amen. Yes, it is uncertain in many ways, yet Jesus knew and still kept that appointment that he had with death. Interesting. The Bible says he came to die. That is why our Lord came to this planet. They say, well, he was a good teacher. Yeah, he was a good teacher, but he was more than that. He was a good preacher. Yeah, he was a good preacher, but he was more than that. He was God in the flesh, and he came to die in our place. If you were to tell me that tomorrow at 12 o'clock at the corner of Outwater Lane and Midland by the railroad crossing that Pastor Janke would be killed by a train and a motorcycle, would kill him on the spot at 12 o'clock. Do you know where I'd be tomorrow at 12 o'clock? I'd be having lunch with Tony in Clifton or West Patterson. I'd be far away from that intersection. And yet the Lord knew in advance when he would die and where he would die and how he would die. And he said, I'd gladly give my life for those that will receive me. I gladly lay down my life for the joy that was set before me, for those that would respond to the good news that they could be rejoined with me in heaven. I gladly lay it down. Even though they despise me, even though they live a life of rejection, that's love. He died for those that hate him. Say, Pastor, I never hated God. Oh, yes, you did, before you were saved. There was a war going on, you and God, and all the Ten Commandments and all the commandments, amen? We broke them all. All we like sheep have gone astray. We did it in unbelief, and later we did it willfully. But thank God. Thank God when we heard that gospel story that the Lord, I'm preaching tonight on how the Lord opens the eyes of the blind, the spiritual eyes. Thank God he took the blinders off our eyes so we can see. Without him doing that, all the preaching would be in vain. Without him doing that, all of it is in vain. Salvation is of the Lord. That day he took the blinders off your eyes and allowed you to understand, and you made that conscious decision and said, yes, I want Christ. And the deal was done. Your name was written in glory. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise that you would never perish. Thank God. Yes, death is uncertain in that way. We don't know when it's going to happen. And yet Jesus knew exactly his day of fate And the closer he got to that day, as others tried to slow him down, as others tried to get in the way, and as others tried to distract him, the Bible said he set his face like a flint to Jerusalem. He was a man on a mission, and nothing was going to stop him from going to Jerusalem to die on that cross and make that appointment that he made with Mr. Death, where he gave himself a sacrifice to die in our place so that we could have the righteousness of God in him. And all of you that are born again this morning, you are in Christ Jesus, placed in the Lord Jesus Christ, never to perish, an adopted child of God by the blood of the Lord. Yes, death is uncertain. It's also final. It's final because it puts an end to all of our human distinctions and duties. Whether somebody is royalty, or they're just the middle class, whether they're wealthy or poor, pauper or peasant, master or servant, it puts an end to the present character of our duties. All those lists of things you want done. Oh, you know, at the end of every year, there's always much to do. You know, you're thinking about the holidays, thinking about Thanksgiving and what you're going to do for that Thanksgiving. We're going to have a big dinner. We're going to maybe invite relatives. We've got things to, no, and then Christmas is coming. And we got relatives coming. Well, we got to fix up the basement, or we got to make room, and we got to put out our Christmas list. And Mrs. Janky goes Christmas shopping December 26th for the new year. That's how much she likes Christmas. You'll never steal Christmas from her, but she's always looking out for Christmas presents and bargains. But I'll tell you what, as the closer we get to Christmas, she's on automatic pilot. The buttons are pushed. Amen. She loves Christmas. I mean, she's addicted to Christmas. You either lead, follow, or get out of the way. And we always have a great Christmas. We enjoy it. And I don't know why I even said that this morning. I'm sure there's a reason. But it's a final step. And when it comes, all those chores will be undone. When it comes, young people, don't say you've got your plan to live in old age. You don't know when Mr. Death comes. Did you ever read the obituary column? All ages, young and old, youth and adult, if Mr. Death came to you and you didn't have the opportunity to live a long life, those homework assignments would have to stay undone. Yeah, I can hear you saying amen, but those chores would be undone. Whether it's cleaning up your room, and you should, raking the leaves, and you could, shoveling the snow, and it's a good idea. Washing and drying the dishes. You know, I think modernization has spoiled some of our children. I used to hate doing the dishes, but I tell you, it did teach me how to do the dishes. I remember the first time my mother felt sorry for me because she knew it would take forever, and it wasn't done to her satisfaction. After about an hour, she said, "Go on, get out of here." But as I got older, she didn't give me the free pass. But at least I learned how to actually wash dishes and pots and pans and dry and put away to her satisfaction. It did teach me something, character. You know, now we got the dishwasher, you know. You just scrape the plates, put them on, slam the door, push the button, and whew. Oh, that was so hot. I did the dishes. We're not even going to go to, you know, washing and drying clothes. We won't go there. Because I remember those clotheslines. I'm old enough to remember those clotheslines. Some of you are too. Growing up, I had to hang out the clothes. Amen. Now you figure, I got to do the laundry this week. Oh, man. It's piling up. Why don't you take 5 minutes? Amen. That's all it takes. Throw them in, pour in the soap, push the buttons, walk away. Amen. Oh, I love the good old days, but I'll tell you, I like the washing machines and the dryers. But when that final step comes, all of our plans, you may have some great plans for the future, but you know what? If that final step comes, you're not going to get a chance to accomplish those goals. All of them are going to be left behind. That antique car you wanted to work on, it's going to rust. Somebody's going to give it away to somebody else. Recently, I met a 92-year-old man that had a very neat, highly organized garage. All his tools were in place. 92 years old. I'd be thinking of something other than tools. I'd be thinking about how can I make my peace with God? Because when that final step comes, and at 92, you don't have many more steps. All those tools are just going to be left there for other people's decisions. All of our parental duties, undone, left undone. That's why the Bible says, redeem the time. The days are evil. Make the most of your time, parents. Don't let the TV babysit your children. Not one amen. It's like pulling teeth to preach in 2007. Don't let the computer babysit your children. Thank you. You'll reap what you sow. You have only so long to teach them things that are important. They have to do with character and God and the Bible and church. And the best way to teach them is by example. That's for sure. Johnny was sent home from school with a letter. Cursing in school. Sent home. Dad says, where the blankety blank did he find that out? I'll wait till I get my hands on him. Better look out, Dad. He's watching you. Yes, it's a final step. It's a parting step. It parts us from this world of the visible and matter. One day when that final step is taken, we have to say farewell to all that is familiar. Your garden. Bye. Some of you like your garden? Do you like it? I like my garden. I'm not going to have one this next year. I'll tell you, my yard is a wreck. The wrecking crew has come. Got parts of my garage all over the yard. I know a contractor to not tell you who to get. At least he didn't get paid the 100%. Amen. But when that parting step comes, we got to say goodbye to all that is dear to us, our friends and loved ones. That parting step, that body that we've taken great lengths, and perhaps to even look younger, we're going to say goodbye to. Say, me? I don't cherish my body. Oh, come on. God knows how many times you've stroked that hair, ladies, in your whole life. Somewhere up in the millions, maybe. I don't know. And I'm jealous because I'm losing mine. The Bible says we cherish our body. When it's sick, we pamper it. And some of us are martyrs when we're sick. Wait on me, please. Honey, what would you like? Just a little soup. Dear, crackers in the soup, please. Yes, dear, anything else? Oh, maybe just a little tea. Oh, you know the tea I don't like this tea. And we, you know, we get the antibiotics and we take care of that body. That same body we've exercised and fed and rested. That face we've looked at in the mirror a thousand times. Oh, at least 365 days in a year. I mean, you look in the mirror a few times a day, right? When you get up, you brush your teeth, or you should. Amen? You bathe, and you should. You floss. My dentist says I should. And I'm putting off that appointment. I got to see him. I'm not looking forward to it, but I got to go in January. Pray for me. I feel sorry for Dennis. I really do. Someone really needs to have a burden for Dennis to witness to them, because some of us don't go to them. Because we're afraid. We're chicken. Amen. That body we've cherished so long, we're going to say goodbye to, as we know it, because it's going to depart. The soul and the body are going to be torn asunder. They're going to be parted. Yes, that body we've taken care of is going to be left behind when that step is taken. When you think about how David said that there's one step between me and death. That step we take alone, it's a solitary step. Oh yes, possibly people could be by our side, but when that last step is taken, we take it alone. But you know what? If you're a Christian, the same God that's walked with you all through life walks with you in that final step as well. Amen. That's a great thought. But that solitary step is a lonely thing for someone that lives a life without God. They take that last step too, but they take it without God, and that's a sad thing to think about. Yes, solitary. But thank God we're never alone. Those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's a serious step, that last step. Someone said birth is a solemn step. And let me read to you a quote. It's an awful thing to be born, said a philosopher, because we have got into existence and can never get out of it. He realized that the soul is eternal. Once you're born, your soul is there forever. Amen. Yes, it's altogether a solemn step. And because of that, because it's certain, because it's uncertain, because it's final, because it's parting, because it's solitary, and because it's solemn, it should cause us as God's people to want to make the most of our time. Amen. If we really realized the importance of that day when it comes, you know what? The world, its pleasures will appear small to us. Salvation will be all the more important to us. If we realize that, we would want to settle old disputes quickly. If we realize that solemn step is certain and unpredictable, we would want to make sure that we didn't have any old grudges to settle. I don't know how many people I've talked to that regretted their last words to a loved one, because they thought their loved one was going to be there the next day. And I had to go and say, you know, they understand. Where they are now as a believer, they understand you didn't mean it. It doesn't take away the pain sometimes. I think of a lady right now. I won't tell you her name. Most of you wouldn't know her. She had an argument with her husband. They were always arguing. She was out of God's will totally, making his life miserable. He was out of God's will as well. They fought all the time. Both Christians. At one time, outstanding, upright church members, pillars. but they allowed the problems of life to wear them down so that they wouldn't feed their soul spiritually. They went back to the world. And they fought. And that afternoon, after an argument, the husband had a heart attack on the front porch, and he just died just as quick as could be. Now she loves him. Now she's sorry. Now she cries. You know what? It's been 10 years and she still cries. Not a very good choice, is it? Keep short accounts with people, church. Don't go to bed angry. And always say good night. And always say I love you. Even if you gotta force yourself because you're angry, maybe, or you're afraid how it's gonna be interpreted. You know, it must be awful tough to live around someone you gotta walk on eggshells all the time, but you can still love them. Yes, that final step will be taken. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Just want you to think for a moment about the message this morning. That final step. Every one of us will take it. Knowing that, my challenge this morning is to give life your very best shot every day. And realize the importance of time. Make the most of it. Look to the future. But realize that final step can be taken at any moment. Cultivate your relationships with people that you know. Try to make those relationships the very best they can be. Invest your time. Invest your prayers. If you got an unsaved loved one, I don't see how you can go to bed at night and not pray for their souls to be born again. Come on. It should stir you. If you don't see fruit in their life, it should stir you to pray. If you see the danger that they're in, it should stir you to pray. And pray that God would open their eyes. If we know this is true, we need to make the very best use of our possessions as well. All the things that God has entrusted to us to use in this life for His glory. Our Father in heaven, we ask this morning that you'd have your will and way in our lives. As we search our hearts this morning, I believe, Lord, that you're doing a work in our heart this morning. As your people are calling out to you this morning, I pray, Father, that you would not only hear, but you would answer their requests. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder, you say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart this morning, and I certainly want him to hear me now. God is dealing with my heart, and I want him to answer my prayers this morning concerning some of the things that were mentioned, and I want to be remembered in prayer. Anyone like that, God bless you. Just lift your hand up high and put it down. God bless you. Any others? God bless you. Others? Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. Listen, he's here. He's walking by. He's asking you. Have I spoken to your heart this morning? Do you want to be remembered in prayer? As Jesus walks by us this morning, he said, Pastor, what does it mean? It means faith. Calling out in faith. Even right now, asking him, maybe a loved one has come into your mind and you haven't prayed for them in a long time. God has burdened your heart this morning. Make a promise to God. Say, God, I've neglected that duty, but right now I'm making a promise to you that every night before I go to sleep, I want to say a prayer for their soul. I want to pray that their eyes would be open, that you would open their eyes. I don't want to rest easy until I see fruit, until I see assurance that we'll be together one day. As our pianist starts to play a verse of invitation, If you'd just like to come and pray at the altar this morning, can't think of a better place, God's house. Members of Community Baptist Church would like to just come and pray. Would you come? Invitation's open. God is speaking this morning. Jesus is passing by. You can pray at your seat, or you can pray at an altar, but the important thing is to pray. Keep short accounts with God. Give life your best shot. Make the most of our time. Make the most use of our possessions. There is but one step between me and death, David said. This morning, many of our brave soldiers also are saying that verse. They feel that verse. And they're laying it all on the line for us. God bless them. Father, we thank you for speaking to our hearts this morning, whether we respond to an altar or at our own pew where we pray. Help us to realize the importance of life. And help us, Lord, to be better stewards and to make better use of our time. As parents and grandparents, help us to always look for opportunities to train and to teach our young ones. And we thank you for our soldiers that are standing in the gap, protecting us in a very dangerous world. Many of them will take that final step in protecting. We thank you for their sacrifice. We thank you for our veterans that go into this week thinking of their past, their service. We want to thank you for them. And thank you for how special they are. May your will be done in our lives, Lord, and have your way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's